I love that whistle, though. That was kind of neat. I love trains, but as I was saying, you have to come together. You have to be together. You have to pray together. But like that, everything has a beginning. Now, I hope you understand what I'm going to say. Your church had a beginning. Somewhere in this city, it began. I don't know how long ago. 100 years ago. I pastored a church in Greenfield, Indiana that began in 1915. And they celebrated their 100th year sometime back, 2015. But every church has a beginning. Every congregation has a beginning. Even our denomination has a beginning. In 1895, a man by the name of Phineas F. Brzee formed Los Angeles First Church. And then it had a beginning as a denomination in 1908 in Pilot Point, Texas. You ministerial students know all about this. And later we changed our name in 1919 because we dropped the word Pentecostal when we started out Pentecostal Church of the Nazarene. So we have a beginning. You have a beginning. Somewhere back in time, a man, a young man, met a young woman. They fell in love and began a family. And out of that family became you. You had a beginning. We all have beginnings. And even, it strikes me a little profound, somewhere God had a beginning. But I don't know where. Do you? But the Word says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Every time I read that, it does something to me. Does something to you too, I'm sure. And the rest of that verse, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Even the heavens had a beginning. Even the earth had a beginning. Think of it, would you, for a moment. Out of nothing, God created something. He was in the nothing. But God is always able to do something with nothing. God can do the impossible, you know that. And when it comes to finding the right person for this pulpit to lead this congregation, God knows exactly who it is. And at this point, what your responsibility is to trust Him. Amen? So in the beginning, God. Now, there's another verse in the New Testament kind of links with that. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, He was in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So at the very beginning, wherever God began, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were working to create the heavens and the earth and bring about the salvation of human experience that had fallen in the Garden of Eden. Isn't that amazing? So this morning I want to share with you just three little thoughts about this beginning. Something this beautiful, something this marvelous, like our lands that we live in. You know, when I was a farm boy in Indiana, all I ever saw were hills. You know, hills, rolling hills. I walked many a pasture land that were hills, going after Holstein cows to take them to the barn so we could milk them. Don't ask me to milk cows. I don't do it anymore. I still can, but I don't do it. But I've walked many hills, and I never saw anything other than hills or farmland or creeks or things like that until after I married Sherry Tapscott. Her name wasn't Sherry Tapscott then. She had been in the West. She had been in the South. She had been a lot of places I'd never gone as a farm boy. But when we got married and I finally went into Nazarene Bible College to go to school, the first sign of a mountain was driving to Colorado Springs and seeing in the distance the majestic Pikes Peak. Now, I don't know about you, but mountains have an extraordinary effect on me. And I really thought, that just can't be that beautiful, but they are so beautiful. And you remember the song, Purple Mountain Majesties, and there's a line in that song, America the Beautiful. And I wanted you to know that's exactly true. Because in the mornings when Sherry and I would wake in Colorado Springs, you would look out across that Cheyenne Mountain Range in Pikes Peak, and there would be this purple color across the top of it. God is a great creator. So those mountains were something impressive to me. And man through the centuries has tried to disprove his existence over and over again by various means to no avail. But in this passage it makes clear that God is the reason anything exists at all. There, these simple but profound words are among the greatest, I think, ever penned. The words not only astonish us, they instruct both positively and negatively. Certain things about God are excluded, and certain things are taught. So that's how we begin. The words in the beginning, God, exclude, first of all, the religions of atheism. There is no God. The scripture says that he is a fool who thinks there is no God. That's what it says in Psalm 53. And the rest of that verse says, they are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. So the one who thinks there is no God is really a fool. He's only fooling himself. I work in a funeral home in Decatur. As a matter of fact, I work in two. And I perform funerals all the time. I have one scheduled for Monday and Thursday this next week. And I don't want to throw out that to make you think on those things. But my point is this. I cannot tell you how many services I have officiated where there's no church attachment, no religious background, no church affiliation whatsoever. And it's really sometimes very sad. It's very sad. Although, in most of those, in some of those, they believe that all their loved ones are going to be in heaven because of the way they lived. And you can't do one thing or the other. All you can do is praise God and deliver the message and share and honor the memory of the loved one and comfort the family. But my point is this, folks. Even though they have never crossed a church door, one day they will meet the God who began. And God is the wise judge, and he will do right. So the religions of atheism are excluded. There is no God. If God was in the beginning, then God exists before time, before the world, before life, before man. It also excludes the philosophy of materialism, which says that matter is all there is. That the philosophy identifies human beings in those terms that man is just a manifestation of matter. Therefore, there is nothing really spiritual in the universe. And it also excludes the philosophy of pantheism. These words tell us that God exists apart from the material universe before matter. Therefore, denying even the personality of God. In the beginning, the words in the beginning, God, exclude those things. But secondly, the words in the beginning affirm something to us as well. They affirm to us that God is self-existent. God is in himself unknowable. We can know certain things about God, But we can only know those things as what? As he reveals them to us. He is unknowable to us because we think only in terms of cause and effect. We can never know him exhaustively. Now, I'm going to say something that may sound strange to you. God is not answerable to us. We, however, are answerable to him. Husbands are answerable to wives. I have the last two words in my family. Yes, dear. And wives are answerable to husbands sometimes. Children to parents. Employees to employers. To those in authority. God is answerable to no one. And I think right here is when we need to say, let God be God. And let us be his creatures. His creation. That God is self-sufficient. He depends on no one. He is able to take care of himself. It is not true of us. We depend on oxygen. We depend on matter. We depend on light. We depend on heat, gravity, other people. God does not, I don't want this to sound wrong, but God does not need worshipers. He doesn't need us to worship him. What he wants is he desires us to worship him. He delights in our worship. He gets thrilled in our worship. He gets excited in our worship. But he doesn't need us to worship him. Because God is God no matter what we do or what we think. He doesn't change in that respect. And the scripture says he is higher than our ways. His thoughts are not like ours. So if you're here this morning and you're thinking that God needs you because you are who you are, you're wrong. God wants you because of who you are, because of what he's made you. His child. We sang about it. You know, the most amazing thing that God does for Sunday mornings, I think, is how he puts music together with sermons. I don't know how he does it. I spent 14 months in Shelbyville First Church, and every Sunday that worship team there, that praise team, would pick music. And it was amazing to me how many times the music would fall right in line with what I was speaking about. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us, but he chooses us. God does not need worshipers, but he wants our glory and our love. He doesn't need it, but he desires it. There is love in the Godhead that's apart from us. He doesn't even need us to defend him. I don't know, as a young pastor, I felt like, boy, you have to defend God. You don't really have to defend him. You just need to be there, have a wide open heart, and be responsible and willing to share his word. The thing that I think God wants you to do is you don't have to defend him, but it sure is great when you stand up for him. Right? That's why we sing that great old hymn. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. You must not suffer loss. So, my friends, God gives us the privilege of helping and honoring and glorifying him. If we don't, he is not deprived thereby. He is no less glorious than before, no less God. None of this threatens our value. The reason we have value is that He created us. Somewhere back in time, Mike Tapscott was thought of. Somewhere back in time, before I was actually born, God thought of Mike Tapscott. God saw this moment right here long before I ever did. God witnessed that time that I knelt there at this altar and was ordained a minister in the Church of the Nazarene. God saw that before I did. God saw all these things. He sees everything in your life ahead of you. That's why you can place your hands in His hands and trust Him to lead you every step of the way. Especially in this new year. What is it you want the most for this new year? I never make resolutions. I made a resolution not to make a resolution. Because most of the time, what happens? You don't follow them through. I made a resolution one time to learn to play the piano. And don't you laugh. My wife's going to laugh. I thought, boy, I could do that. I practiced, 3 days? 3 days. I thought, no, these basketball hands can't do that. But I could have, but I just didn't want to. Well, the truth of the matter is, I didn't want to practice. So I don't make resolutions. So my friends, what is it you want God to do for you? What is it you need God to do for you? The thing that's important is, do you trust Him now, this day, to lead you to the next day, and the next day, and the next day? Do you have enough faith to believe that He will do it? The God who, in the beginning, was the only thing. And yet the same God who was in the beginning and the only thing never changes, is always the same. God gives us the privilege, the marvelous privilege, of being His servants and working with Him side by side. The last thing, the words "in the beginning God" proclaim that God is eternal. In Psalm 90, verse 1, it says, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generation." This means that God can be trusted to be as He reveals Himself. He does not forget. He does not mature. He does not change. He is immutable, which means that He is not susceptible to change. He is, as Psalm 102 says, He remains the same, and your years will never end. And of course, in Hebrews 13, the words of the writer there about Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is inescapable. No matter where you go, He can find you. No matter where you are, God knows where you are. And the psalmist, I think, wrote some of the most beautiful words concerning that when he said in Psalm 138, he said, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to You. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to You." So you can't escape Him. He's everywhere. No matter where you go, God is there. He's already been before you've been there. There are some who would like to escape Him, some who would like to get rid of Him, but there's no way. He's always there. The songwriter said He is there all the time. All the times in every place. He is there in the first phrase of the first book of Scripture and in the last phrase of the last book of Scripture. He will be there throughout all eternity. You say, Pastor Mike, now how do you know that for sure? I don't. Only by faith. You see, our spiritual lives are not me seeing Jeff eye to eye. Our spiritual lives is, I believe, even though Jeff, if Jeff were to disappear, which he's not, but if Jeff were to disappear, I still believe that Jeff is there. You understand what I'm saying? Even though I can't see God and I can't touch God, my faith says God is there. Now, how does God make that impact in my life? By His presence through the Holy Spirit. He works in us and through us and with us to make His presence known in our lives and hearts. He is there. He will be there throughout all eternity. One non-religious man sliding down a precipice reached up to grab a limb, figuring this was as good a time as any to be religious or become religious. He called out, "Is there anybody up there who can help me?" He was surprised to hear a loud voice say, "Yes, I'm here, and I can help you. But first of all, you're going to have to let go of that branch." After a pause, he said, "Is there anybody else up there who can help me?" The truth is, there isn't anybody else except God. Government can't help you. The state can't help you. The governor can't help you. But God can. He's the only one. He's the only one I know that was in the beginning and will be in eternity and is here right now. What do you need? What do you want God to do? The one who put all the planets together from nothing can take our lives and do something special with it. If you'll just trust Him. Trust Him now, and trust Him in the days to come. Let's bow our heads for just a word of prayer while our music director comes and leads us in a closing hymn.